So the big question is this. With over 10,000 different species of mushrooms, how do people that want to benefit from their various medicinal properties accurately identify them in the wild, grow them at home, or make them taste delicious without having to read confusing medical reports and possibly eating a poisonous look-alike by mistake? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Oliver Carlin, and welcome to Curated Mushroom.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there, my mushroom lovers? And welcome to Season 3 of the Curated Mushrooms podcast. I'm your host, Oliver Carlin, and on this episode, we're going to be jumping into another live training call where people have joined our Happy Mushroom Growers Challenge, and they're complete beginners, and they're trying to grow their own happy mushrooms at home for the very first time. And so there's things they're doing. People are at different stages in the process. Some people have just started out. They're just trying to figure out how to get their spore syringe for the type of syringe they want to get, right? How do I get that microscopic use only syringe legally shipped to my house? And so some people are at that level, while other people have already got it. They've already got all their supplies. And some people will use our simple kit where you can get it all in a simple one-click shop. And they've already injected and they're wondering what to do next. And some people are further along and they're waiting for that mushroom to fruit and they're super excited. So whatever stage you're at, the good news is there's always something to learn. And no matter what your stage you're at, you're probably going to have these questions later. So it's a great opportunity just to listen in and see for yourself how the different struggles or how easy it can be, right? So on this episode specifically, we're going to be showing the beginners how to inject a grow bag following the simplest methods using open air without any extensive equipment, no still air box required. And some equipment can cost like laminar fluids can cost thousands of dollars. You won't need any of that following these simple techniques we're about to show. So we're going to show you how to do that. We're also going to be mixing a grow bag and explaining when is the right time to mix your grow bag. And then finally, we're going to show you how to bring a bag to fruiting conditions. And how do you know when it's ready to fruit? Do you put it once it's fully white? When do you really need to open that bag? We're going to cover all of that in this episode. So let's jump in right now, and I'll see you there. Hey, 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 how's it going out there, my mushroom lovers? And welcome to the 30-Day Happy Mushroom Growers Challenge. And I'm your host, Oliver Carlin. This is it. So this is the weekly call that we have in place today for the challenge, basically so that you can get any questions you have answered about growing mushrooms, and specifically during the challenge using the simplest fruiting methods that we teach throughout this challenge to grow from spores. So let's do it. Let's jump in. Now, here's the thing. Like a lot of times when I show this stuff, I'll be honest, I'm really busy. So everything that's happening here, I've got 3 spawn boxes that I've injected. I'm going to inject one more tonight. And I only check it on the lives with you guys. So I'm as surprised as you are with whatever I'm about to see other than what's fruiting. So let me start with what's fruiting around me because I've got different containers and I'll show you. So I've got one fruiting here. This one's kind of crazy. But I like to show this because this is the new method. So if you haven't downloaded or bought the second edition of our book. So we had the first edition, the second edition. This is the second. So you'll know it's the second because it says second edition. Make sure you've got the second edition of the book. It's way smaller, but it's got all the new techniques and it specifically got this one in it. I've been bouncing around with the names for it. I think I'm settling with Dub Tub Fruiting Chamber. It was Dub Tub Humidity Dome, but I don't think too many people know what Humidity Dome means. I think Fruiting Chamber makes more sense. And these are going to be available in the store. So if you guys want to buy one of these for less than $10, a freaking Fruiting Chamber for less than $10, that literally requires no maintenance. And again, this is optional. You can do everything in the bag, right? The only reason I use this in this scenario is if I had to take it out of the bag. See, like I fruit in the bag. But if for some reason you're getting side pins on the bag, you know, Like you're growing it and it's like fruiting out the side and you're like, oh, I want to save my mushrooms. You don't want to watch them die, right? You want to cut them out and save them. Well, I've been in that scenario a lot. And if you don't pack it down, if you pack it down really well, so there's no air pockets on the side, you don't have that problem really. But sometimes things happen and you gotta take it out. So I'll cut it out, take it out of the bag. And then that's what it looks like once you take it out of the bag. Let me see if I can turn it over. But you see how inside of there, it's like the paper towel and there's a foil and it literally creates a humidity environment outside of a bag. So if you ever need to take it out of the bag for some reason, this thing is completely maintenance free. Like I don't even touch this thing. All I do is I open the lid once a day to fan out, to get rid of some of the humidity. Cause it's like, it's really humid in there. Because what I do is I take, you know, 5 or 6 Bounty paper towels, the, you know, the quicker picker uppers, the ones that like soak up everything in the world. Well, I do that. And then I pour about 8 ounces. So half a bottle of water in there and that's it. Like that thing maintains itself. I do change the paper towels once a week. Otherwise it starts to get smelly. But other than that, that's a simple humidity dome. And this is great too for your side fruiters. Watch, I'll show you. I got another one. So like, let's say you were growing a different mushroom, right? Like, let's say you were growing like lion's mane or whatever, reishi, turkey tail, and you wanted to side fruit it, which we show you in the book. Now this one, so this is basically a small dub tub, but it's times like about 3. Now this is good for our 5-pound bags, which our 5-pound bags will be in the store. They're pretty much, you're going to be in the store and you'll be able to get our 5-pound bags, which one of those bags will grow like 2 pounds of mushrooms. 2 pounds. It's so massive. But let me show you king oyster. See, look, see it's fruiting now. All I did was cut a little hole and it's fruiting already. And this chamber creates the perfect humidity dome. The reason this works, this method is so amazing. One is simple for you. It's cheap for you. And that's, honestly, that's how this method got invented, was because it was so cheap and easy. And what ended up happening with this method, though, is it was so good that pretty much it became the only way we fruit anymore, like outside of a bag. So like I fruit in the bag, but if I ever take it out of a bag, I don't do mono tubs. I do dub tubs because they're so simple. Dub tubs, whether you're doing a full fruiting method or an actual dub tub where we put it like whatever the case, this technique and the way it works, let me explain it. The way it works is you see the little gap in there. It's not actually closed all the way. So it's getting fresh air in the middle. And sometimes if it's too humid, maybe I open it up a little bit and give it a little bit more fresh air. So I can gauge the fresh air by how humid it looks, right? Because I don't want it to dry out. And then all I have to do to flush out the humid air is just open it up once a day, open it up and spray out some of the humidity, give it some fresh air and put it back down. And that's it. I seriously, like, I could charge you $250 for a device that you have to get a humidifier in because I bought them. And I'm telling you, it will not be as good as that. It just won't. There's no humidifier. There's no water you got to keep an eye on filling up. Like, when I had a fruiting tent, like, I had to, like, the humidifier was always running out of water. So, like, every day I'm in there filling that thing up. But you don't have to do anything. This is like the most maintenance-free way other than a bag. So as you can see, we specialize in the simplest methods, right? Because that's what we all like. We like simple, don't we? All right. Becky says she likes simple. Richard likes simple. Chris loves simple. All right, good. So we all love simple. So there you go. Simplest fruiting methods. Number one is in the bag. So this one's getting ready to fruit. It's already pinning in here. This is the way I normally fruit. There in here, it's pinning. You can see it's pinning in there. You can see little knots coming in there. But anyway, this one's solid white, right? That's what it looks like when it's in fruiting. Okay. This one, all I do is open it up a couple times a day, give it some fresh air. If it needs humidity, I can see it's already humid. So if it's humid, I don't add water. I haven't sprayed this block once. Now, if it was completely dry, I might say, okay, make sure this is water. It's definitely water. Mist in there a little bit. And I let it kind of just fall in, just like the dew lands on the grass, you know, and it'll just settle down in there. You don't want standing water. You don't want to overwater. Like, this is the first time watering in like 3 days with this one. So as long as you fold the bag up completely like this, you don't have to water very often because the water can't escape. And then you just put your clip back on and that's it. Remember, it breathes out of this air filter patch. So it's getting fresh air from that patch, right? Try duct tape for a hinge on the box, does David? Yeah. Great, great tip. For these, because they're going to keep falling off, add a piece of duct tape as a hinge on the back. And it helps, too, in case someone happens to just run into it, knocks the lid off, and your mushrooms dry out. That's happened. My kids run by and knock it down. And so, yeah, great tip. Put some tape on there. And this is an agar dish, right? In case anyone knows, this is one we did earlier to get a good test. All right, let's see what's happening in here. Oh, we've got some white. This one's been really kind of taking its time, but it is coming. Bam. See the white growing under the injection port there? That's what you want to see right there. That's white. Beautiful white. And when you're in your spawn box, always keep an eye on where is this guy right here. I don't know how well you can see it, but it's this little metal temperature gauge. Make sure that's not hiding underneath something because this is what's measuring your temperature. And if this is not visible in the open air, your box could be not heating correctly. So let's look at the other one.
Nothing on this one.
Sometimes if I don't see anything, I'll come over to it and I'll be like, let me see if I can dig in here and find any white. Because you never know, it might be in the middle somewhere. Because when we inject, the liquid goes down through the oats, right? The way I show you. So there could be white in the middle somewhere. And so I see something there. I don't know if that's my soon. But I don't see much going on in this bag. Normally I would see something by now. This one might need to be re-injected. I'm going to give it a little more time though. Put that back in. Okay. Let's see this one.
Ooh, this one's looking good. It's coming along. Starting to
get there. I mixed this one already. You can see it's starting to get white. It's starting to come out the top. So when you mix it, it's going to look like it never got injected. But then once the white comes out, it like takes over. So it's like halfway white right now. And you can always smell them, too, if you're curious. Like, what's it smell? Smell the injection port.
Ooh, that smells good.
So, and you can squeeze some air out. Because sometimes people wonder, is it contamination? Well, mycelium always smells good.
Okay.
It never smells rotten. So, if it smells rotten, it's not a good sign. Okay. Now, let's look at the ones underneath. And we've had some bad agars, too. Don't get it twisted. These are dried up now. But see, we've had bad dishes.
Different ones dried up. Oh, yeah, that's gross. I don't know what happened with this. Man, how did it get wet? It's like liquidy everywhere. I'm going to toss this. That's some crazy stuff.
So, again, we keep our spawn boxes that's... Anybody know what temperature?
Anyone remember?
Oh, here's one that we did on the 5th of January, which, what are we in now? We're in March. So this one took a little longer, but that's expected for this one because this is a wood mushroom. They can take a little longer sometimes. But you can see it's almost ready. It's popping out. This one will be ready to fruit hopefully by next week. All right. Cool. All right, what do we got here? Ooh, what's this one doing? This one was mixed. This was the 24th of January. So a little over a month. This one is getting ready, look. It's almost ready to fruit. So, that one. Look at this one, though. This one's beautiful. Look at that. This one's actually ready to mix, you guys. I'm going to mix this one tonight. We had some other Petri dishes, too, that I was testing. See if I have anything growing on it. Ooh, here's one. This is one we had a good test on. A lot of white growing in there. All right. So this one we got to mix. I do want to inject one more I've got here that I want to inject. But other than that, I showed you pretty much. Let me close my spawn box. You don't want to leave your spawn box open because remember the heat keep the temperature for you. All right. TomTom says, I had my grow kit ship in January. I waited until my grow box arrived. Unfortunately, the first two bags produced green mold. I have half a syringe left. Okay, TomTom, do you have an agar test on that syringe? Very important. We just added that to the book. I just want to make sure that's the first step now. Should I use the last of my syringe on the third bag? Okay, that's going to rely on the syringe test. Tom says, could the January weather have affected my grow bags if it was cold for several days in my garage? It shouldn't have got contaminated because contamination, green trichoderma, it likes warm weather, mostly, just like mushrooms. So the cold would make a mushroom bag stall out if you had mushrooms in there, but it shouldn't be a breeding, you know, like when we put stuff in the fridge so it doesn't get contaminated, right? I wouldn't think you got contamination because of that. All right. Helen says, I'm a beginner. I just got my grow bags. Where do I keep them until I get my spores solution? Okay, good. Good question. Yeah, so the bags. Try to keep them exactly like they are in the box. You want them folded up like this. You don't want them filled with air and open like this because we don't want to bring air into the bag until it's time to actually inject. So keep them, we don't want air in here because anytime air gets in, all things, they need oxygen to kind of get going. So if we keep it starved from oxygen, nothing can really grow in this thing, right? It keeps it fresh. That's why we do airlock containers, right? To keep things fresher. Another thing we recommend, if you just got your bag, you can cover this with tape, like a piece of scotch tape, something light that doesn't rip. And that'll cover the paraffin patch so no air can even get in. And you don't have to do that. Here's what I do. When I get my bag, I just keep them in the box until I'm ready to use them. That's the simplest way. Keep them in a, you want to keep the bag in a dark, cool place, just like you keep food when you're trying to preserve it, right? Because think of this just like mushroom food. That's all it is. All right, Larry Mush says, there is some condensation inside my agar dish. Do I do anything with that or just let it be? Everything in there still looks white. Thanks. Yeah, that's totally normal. That's condensation is going to, you'll find it. It's a good sign. That means there's a humid environment. And every bag that we ship for you to use, it has a certain level of moisture content in there. We call it field capacity. Well, that moisture content is what's going to create that humidity because it's like the right level of moisture content. And that's what creates the humidity ecosystem. So think of the bag as basically its own ecosystem, right? Inside a bag. And yeah, so condensation is perfectly normal because we need the humidity around 80, 90% inside the bag. Well, the agar dish is no different. Same scenario. It's going to be humid, and that's why you'll see a little condensation. Like I have some right here. See? You can probably see it. See the buildup condensation? That's very normal to have. All right. TomTom says, unfortunately, it all ships separately, and I don't know where it's at. Okay. No worries.
Here's what I recommend, Tom. I recommend get an agar dish. We sell them in the store now. If you need help with that, reach out to our support. We need to get you an agar dish, because what we need to do first and foremost is we need to test. And I'm going to do this in a second with this one, but we need to test that spore syringe, because what a lot of the times what can happen is a spore syringe can have contamination in it. And if it does, we can find that out in an agar dish that's relatively cheap instead of injecting our bag. So that's the first thing I want you to do, because if you don't have that, we need to get you a replacement syringe so that you get a good test. Once you have a good test on here, then we're going to inject that last bag. So that last bag, I need you to seal it up, lock it away in a cool, dark place. Make sure there's no air in it, right? That I just talked about. Tuck it away, because that one, we're going to get it, right? So, but we need to get that spore syringe test first. All right, Chris Hambly says, what's an agar dish for? Yeah, great question. So an agar, so what we do, so when you get a grow kit from us, you'll find that they come with this agar dish. An agar, just think of it as like honey jellified honey. It's like a thin layer of like jellified honey in the bottom. And mushrooms love it, right? So what we do is we'll take a spore syringe, and I'm going to do it in a minute, and we'll just drop a couple drops of spore liquid to this with our spore syringe, and we just keep an eye on it and see what happens. And if it turns white, then we know, oh, good, the spore syringe has got good mushroom spores, and we're good. If it turns green or yellow or red or pink or something, then we're like, yeah, that's not a good color, right? So that's what the agar dish is for. It's to test that spore syringe, because wherever you get spores from, there's always the risk of contamination, because spores are inherently going to have a higher chance of contamination. And that's just because spores are taken from the undersides of the gills. And I've worked with the best geneticists with the most sterile practices you can imagine. I mean, growing in a complete clean room, right? The whole lives. And not even touching gills to the actual place you're dropping the spores, elevated and doing all these things, you still have a chance of contamination. So, but we're working always to improve that. So always the providers we work with are always trying to make the cleanest possible spores, but just know you want to get that test. That's your green light. You see that test, you're like, okay, good. I'm ready to go. And it's the same thing mycologists have to do. It really is. Like, even advanced mycologists, we have to test whatever we're getting, we test it first to agar. And then we take from agar and then we go from there. One little step, just test it. All you got to do is just test it. One little drop, put it away and forget about it for a few days and then inject your bag. So you just put off injecting your bag a few days while you're waiting on a lot of people don't realize this, but one of these bags is enough to produce you a year's supply. Okay, a year's supply of mushroom. A lot of people are buying three. They're getting three with our kits. And I mean, you do the math. That's a lot of mushrooms, right? So the reason I tell you that is even if you just got one bag to work, you've got more mushrooms than you're going to need, right? We're seeing a lot of people get like 3 out of 3 success right now on their bags, which is amazing. We used to be happy if you got 1 out of 3. Now it's not uncommon at all to see 3 out of 3 success, which is amazing. That's a lot of mushrooms. Can you imagine? One bag can produce 2 ounces, up to 2 ounces of dry mushrooms. 2 ounces. Do you know how much that is? I've paid for dry mushrooms for 1 ounce. I've paid up to $400 for quality, fresh mushrooms. I've paid that much for an ounce. One of these bags can produce 2 ounces of the most potent mushrooms that I've ever had. So you do the math on that one. But all right, Becky says, how long before I will see something in the agar after I test? Anywhere from 3 days to 3 weeks is the right answer. But that's just nature. That's Mother Nature. That has nothing to do with me. Like, if you're dealing with spores, we are seeing, though, it's not uncommon anymore, within 3 to 5 days is what I typically expect anymore. But it can take longer. Don't get me wrong, because it can take up to 3 weeks. It can take up to 3 weeks for spores to come together. That's just the reality of it. But, I mean, once they come together, then that should be your clock start date, right? So when we, a lot of people, you know, they're wondering about the 30-day challenge. What does that mean? The 30 days should start after you inject your grow bag. Like once you know you have a quality syringe, that should be your first priority before you do anything else, is to make sure you've got a quality tested spore syringe. All right, Richard says, I can't get my growth into mushrooms after 2 to 5 months using what's been recommended. I've only had one bag of six I've been able to mix. They are in spawn boxes. Look, if you didn't, that's totally fine because I wasn't pushing it as much as I used to. Now it's in the book. It's like, it's part of the process. We tell people get a spore syringe test. That's going to solve pretty much 99% of everyone's problems, is to just test that spore syringe. I don't care who you get it from. Just test that spore syringe. Make sure you get a good test to agar. Once you have that, the rest of this is going to be so smooth. And I'm going to show you how easy that is here in a second. All right. But hang in there, Richard. I'm proud of you for not giving up. Thank you for that. And I'm glad that you got one going. Hey, one is all it takes. And you're good for like a year's supply. So just hang in there. You're going to get it. Becky says, so we can reuse the bags. Yeah, so one bag, when we're fruiting a bag, right? This bag can, for like manure-loving mushrooms, it can get, I've gotten like 7 flushes out of one bag. And a flush is what we call a new growth. So what that means is the bag is going to fruit a mushroom. I'm going to, once it's done its full flush and they're ready to pick and harvest, I reach in there, I grab them out, and then I just keep it in fruiting conditions. It just stays there. Or you can soak it like I show you to supercharge the next growth. But now you leave it there and within a few days to a week, it starts growing again. And now you have what's called a second flush. You reach in there and once it's ready to harvest, harvest them out and you put them back out and wait another week for another flush. And it's like the gift that never stops giving. It's like it just keeps growing and growing and growing because it's got all this food. And it's going to keep growing until it's pretty much used up all the food, right? So that's pretty much how that works. Becky says, I tested this last Sunday, and as of Wednesday, there wasn't any sign of life. Okay, be patient. Again, keep your grow bags sealed up, dark, cold place while this is while you're waiting for this result, okay? But keep me updated. Dank says, I'm in a climate zone 8B in the high desert. Approximately 3,300 feet elevation. What is your recommended strain of study considering these conditions that I'm new? Most happy mushrooms are they're tropical mushrooms. They like temperatures above 80 degrees. They can grow up to 85, 90 degrees and love it. But just keep in mind, the hotter you get, that the more bacteria and other things like to grow at that temperature. We like it around 80, but you can go up where you can go higher. And they like it higher, but just you need to understand that. Really, if you're going to go above that, I would try to keep it in an air-conditioned environment because the humidity and all that's going to be maintained in the bag. So you don't got to worry about how humid your environment is. That doesn't matter because the bag will maintain the humidity for you. The only thing you're worried about is temperature. How are you going to keep it around 75 to 80 degrees? You can go up to 85 if you have to, but even if you had to push it, you could try 90. I've never pushed it because I haven't lived in a hot, hot environment to where I was ever needed to go 90. But, you know, who knows? What humidity? Josh says, what level of humidity do I keep them at? Again, the bag will maintain that. However, if you're taking them out of the bag, use our Dubtub fruiting chamber, a method that'll maintain it for you. If you really want to go advanced, we do have an advanced course where we teach you how to actually maintain exact relative humidity using a humidifier that you can build yourself in a fruiting chamber, like a full Martha tent or whatever, as far as you want to go. That advanced course would be more for that. But we can show you how to maintain it really easily and cheaply at home in this, and it works really well. And believe me, I've done Martha tents and I've done all those things and I still like this better. It's just easier. And you don't have to give up half of another room of your house just to build out a fruiting room. Unless you're doing it on mass scale. And in that case, it'd be different. TV says, can you buy a kit with agar already tested? We're working on something that's going to be pretty close to that you can get. So
keep an eye out for emails. Get on my email list if you're not. Well, you should be if you're here. So keep an eye on the emails from me. And keep make sure to check your spam too, because email's funny like that. You don't want to, if my stuff starts going in spam, you won't see it. All right, Josh says, when Jamie says, I injected my bag last Thursday and the mycelium is already 2 inches wide. Wow. Should I wait another week to shake the bag? That's awesome. First off, congratulations. I mean, that is beautiful. I injected last Thursday and you already have 2 inch wide. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I would wait a little bit more, right? You see how this one's a little bigger? I like it like this. This is about the circle. This is a little too much. I would go a little less than this, but I only check once a week. So I would have probably mixed this when it was about that big. But it's gone, because you got to think, it's also on the back. I can feel it. It's going around the sides too. So this one's gone a long way, right? If we take the sticker up, watch this. Look at this side. I bet you it's fully white. Look. See? All the way through. But yeah, we're going to mix that puppy and I'll show you in a second. Arizona high desert. Okay, gotcha. It says dank. Becky says, I'm waiting for the agar to come alive still. Yeah, be patient. Be patient. Okay, the mushroom. So this journey has already started, okay? Most people think it starts when you actually grow the mushroom, but it's already started right now. The moment you got your spores, it already started. So right now, you're going to learn the first lesson is patience, okay? And then we're going to take you through more and more as you get closer. Enjoy the whole process. That's all I can tell you. All right. So wasn't that an awesome episode of this season 3 of the Curated Mushrooms podcast? I mean, pretty cool, right? When you get to hear and see how simple some of these things can really be. And so if you would like to participate and grow your own happy mushrooms at home, then check out CuratedMushrooms.com and you'll learn how to participate in this challenge, okay? And you can be a part of it live if you would like that. Now, if you'd like to listen to the full episode, make sure you check out the premium content in the link in the description of the podcast. And lastly, if you thought this was good, share it with a friend. Share it with somebody. Whoever you share this with, you're going to be helping them out, right? And we all know that these things have life-changing benefits that they can offer really anybody that needs them. So share it with a friend. Like, comment, and share on this podcast episode. And again, we'll be launching the next episode here soon, so you don't want to miss that. But other than that, much love, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the host and participants, and are not necessarily those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or retransmission without proper consent is prohibited.